The other day, I was on Twitter, as I'm wont to be. Has anyone here heard of Code Newbie?
Yes.
So Code Newbie is great. They do like a weekly chat on Twitter. There's a podcast, really awesome. And a couple of days ago, their chat was about art and code, which is like my thing. I love that stuff. So, which is what I'm going to talk about. And one of these questions, which is a question I hear all the time, which is sort of usually the intro to getting people to talk about art and code, is whether art and code go together and how so. And I was very proud, it was a very proud moment for me because the first response was someone saying, sure, don't you know Jen Schiffer? So it means that what I'm doing by talking about art and code is like getting into people's brains and stuff. And that's me grooving along, as you see lower in the screen. So yeah, I'm a Jen Schiffer. Some people call me Jen Money or Jen Money Dollars, depending on whether you talk to me on Twitter or IRC or whatever. I'm an open web engineer at Boku. We do open source development, so it's nice to see that Microsoft is sort of following our footsteps. You should call it Shocker Kong, by the way. I am also a developer of make8bitart.com, which is an open web, open source JavaScript application for drawing pixel art in the browser, which I made because I am also a pixel artist. And as Jed had mentioned, I'm the organizer of Jersey Script, which is a web developer meetup in Jersey City, which is really close to here. And we meet once a month. So if you're around Tuesday, the 15th, 7 p.m. at Barcade Jersey City, it's super casual. There are no talks. We just show up and we play vintage arcade games and have drinks and food. And it's a good old fun time to have with your developer friends outside of like a work setting, which is always something that I strive to find. But yeah, I'm a pixel artist. I do digital and also like IRL pixel art. That's my pal, Wilman, one of the organizers of Brooklyn.js. He's the face of what I'm going to be talking about later. And this talk is called, Does Jen Schiffer Think Code and Art Go Together? Duh, of course she does, and here is some proof. So one, why do we keep asking this question? Like, is it okay to do art and code? I feel like we're always trying to find permission to do things. And I'm not really sure if it's because, well, I mean, I know it, but it's because we have a very toxic environment where people like to argue about whether what we're doing is actually worth it or useful to anybody. But like, let's like step back from like all like the drama that we find in Twitter arguments and all stuff like that. Like, why do we fear this connection of the left brain and right brain, or even if that's like a constructed thing that makes sense? Like, why do we fear making art with code and vice versa? And also, what does this have to do with JavaScript? Because this is Open JavaScript Day. Yay, JavaScript's open source now. Thanks, Microsoft. So back when, before I was a Gen Money Dollars and I was a Gen Money Pennies, little, I wanted to learn JavaScript. This is 3 years ago. And so I wanted to learn JavaScript because I had discovered, just through learning other languages, because I was doing PHP and Java and Lisp, JavaScript had three things I look for in learning a new technology. If they're good books, good, readable, accessible books that interest me. A good community, so important, because I feel like whatever books can't help me with, I need to have somebody, either online or in person, that is willing to not only like be there when I ask a question, but actually listen to it and have some sort of empathy for someone who doesn't know as much as they do about something. And we all find ourselves in this position, but we forget about it when we become an expert in our field. And it's best not to pull the ladder up behind you. And we've all had moments, I'm sure, where we've done that and not realized it. So we have to continue to be aware of that as you go through time. And I found that the JavaScript community was pretty chill. It also has to be cheap. So like, I didn't have to like buy any new machines in order to learn JavaScript. I didn't have to, you know, really do anything. It was portable, already on my machine. I'm good to go. I Google searched JavaScript training, And I found out about this like company called Boku that was like in Boston. Spoiler alert, as I mentioned before, I now work there. And they had these really cool trainings where they were teaching different aspects of JavaScript, not just like the basics, because I knew like variable declarations and like scope and stuff like that. But I wanted to learn the tools that people were using. Grunt, which came out from Ben Allman at Boku, like people were using task managers, and I'm like, I want to like learn whether this is something I want to use and like how to get started with it. You know, you hear all these like words that like you use in JavaScript, like run, gulp, vagrant, docker, like all this sort of stuff, and it's like, what, one, what do like they mean? Two, where the hell do I get started? There's so much, and also we find that there's a lot of overlap with those things. Like, I don't need to use broccoli and grunt and gulp at the same time. Those are three completely different things. So it's good to like that I was able to sort of like find a space again where like I felt safe to go in, being open to the fact that I didn't know everything and I wanted to learn, because that's sort of the point of holding trainings, is because you're going to get people that don't know what you're doing. And it got me into making make 8-bit art. This is a beta version from years ago, where I wanted to learn JavaScript, but I had to like make something with it in order to really conceptualize like what was going on there. And much like with my pal Mariko, learning like Node and all that sort of stuff like that with their knitting machine, I like had a problem, which was I made pixel art, but there's really nothing like in the browser that's super portable and is cheap and free, and I can add to it that is around. So I'm like, I'm gonna make it with JavaScript because I want it to be in the browser, and JavaScript allows me to do that. And so this became my passion project, which to this day is still at that. And it was cool because it opened me up to like the art world. So like this Make 8-Bit Art ended up being part of two kiosks at the Game On exhibit in Toronto, which is a big video game exhibit. And they sent me pictures of like these kids laughing and like making their avatars and make 8-Bit Art. And that like really like, one, it made me cry. And two, it made me feel validated. Like, okay, like people are using the stuff that I'm making. Not just people, but people who do not give a crap about whether I use JavaScript or like, what, as long as it worked and they were able to make their own product and it was good, it was great. And I learned that, wow, like art is something that's like universal. We've been into it since we were little. Art would be a really great motivator to teach people how to program. And at that time, I was working at Montclair State University as a department administrator of computer science. I was writing curriculum, I was teaching, I was recruiting, which is all very overwhelming and a lot to do. And art was like something that I can get everybody into, you know. Oh, I'm interested in your pro computer science program. Like, what can you offer me? And I always like, what do you think of art? And that was usually the lead in to get people who were interested in multidisciplinary work into like the program. And then I also use it as a tool to teach all these like languages. So then I was like, well, I learned a program. I'm good at it. I've been doing freelance and stuff like that. Academia is getting boring. I wanted to work with the people in this cool community that welcomed me into JavaScript. And so I quit. This is me at my university job. It like got really weird. And so as one usually does when she's at a university and wants to go into industry, she gets a job at the NBA as a senior front end engineer. And so that's me, playing basketball. So you have to dress up as a dog because they don't let women play in NBA proper. But then, like, the NBA is a huge media company, and they're not really sort of, they don't really have their finger on the pulse of open source and web development, and that was something I really wanted to get into. I feel like I had to fight whenever I, like, made something in order to, like, open source it. And I ended up making, like, a lot of really cool things at the NBA that, like, no one will ever see the light of day of, or they see it, but like I can't tell you that like I made it, and that's like, that sucks. I don't like being told what to do. I pay rent, like, whatever. But then I quit, and I was worried, like, what would my dad think of me quitting the NBA and going to where I ended up going to, Boku. My dad didn't hear of Boku, and I remember the CIO of the NBA is like, where are you going? And I was like, Boku, and he's like, I never heard of it. You'll be back. It's like, no, I won't. But it, like, it had me feeling nervous about, like, am I making the right decision, like, leaving a large media company to go to a company that will foster my creativity? And then I felt like, who cares? Like, I don't really talk to my dad that much, and, like, I don't care what's in my way. Like, why do I care? And this is where it all plays into the people questioning, like, is it okay if I, like, do an art thing with code? Will people think of me as less of a developer? Like, who cares? And you shouldn't care, because at the end of the day, you're just looking at yourself in the mirror, hopefully. So, moving on. Last night, I rewrote my entire talk last night because I went to this event at the New York Institute of Technology. The Lumen Prize had like a reception. And my pal Kevin, he's Witchlight on Twitter, super awesome, Kevin DiBierdi, he gave a presentation on all this public art of code that like he had been working on. And again, he's really awesome. I'm going to scroll that up there. You can follow him on Twitter right now. He has this thing, prettydots.com, and he had it up on the big screen in the MIT auditorium last night and told you that if you went to prettydots.com, you can continue drawing. So on the bottom half of this is a screenshot of my phone, and I was drawing, and it's coming up on the screen top there. And this was like before any of the talks had started. It wasn't the first talk, so this is just something to happen, like, to kill the time before the event started. And we're all here collaborating, and people started trying to like write words with the dots, and then I was like erasing all of them. And, you know what I mean? It's just like a really cool like collaborative thing that was going on. And again, look at his stuff, it's really great. There's just so many things that, in terms of like art and software, that Kevin himself had like introduced me to. And introduced me to a whole other subset of the community. He told me about this thing called Art Hack Night at Pioneer Works. And Barbecue Dave is in the room here. Back there at Cassie, yeah. So we had broken up into teams, and we were making just really cool art tech stuff. Our team, Team Scat Room, we took over the bathroom at Pioneer Works. Has anyone here been to Pioneer Works before? Yeah, this place is awesome. So we made a web-enabled bathroom experience with like awesome branding and stuff. We had a chat room. When you went into the stall, there was like a link to a chat room, and based on whatever was baked into that bit.ly link, we would know what stall you logged in from. And you can chat with other people that are going to the bathroom at the same time as you. And like with like Max MST, we had like the chat being fed into Max, and then it was like there were speakers in each room that was saying out loud what people were talking. And it was pretty fun. And then like we had like Arduinos connected to the toilet paper rolls, we were tracking which toilet paper we were using. We did this all in like two nights. It was crazy, but we had a really great, awesome team. And it was one of the most fun experiences I had. I hate hackathons. I feel like it's like, why like lose sleep over programming if I'm just gonna make like, you know, some app I'm probably like, never ever gonna use. But like in this way, we were able to take like all of our talents and express ourselves in our own unique ways and like force people into that space. This is the only bathroom in the space. And just seeing people's faces as they're like, can I like go in there? There's wires everywhere. It looked very shady. It was awesome. And then like we had like this like little command center place outside where you can like watch from outside the bathroom like what was like going on as people entered and left the room. I just like saw this picture, like I was looking up on Twitter and I saw a friend had sent this to me. It got weird, but like art is weird, and when you take over a bathroom and you force everyone to communicate with each other, not through voice but through their phone, like it's weird. And when you think about it, usually when you're on a toilet, you're on your phone. Like, so like why not be more social? And it also like shows when creating art, it sort of gets you into the practice of rapid prototyping. You know, we did this in two nights, and we use all sorts of different technologies. The chat client actually started off as a fork from something that I did build from the MBA and had permission to open source. We use Arduinos, 3D printing of like the paper of the toilet paper dolls that we can like track how like based on how many times you like pull the toilet paper, the rolls, there's math involved, like all sorts of like cool fun stuff for this like art event. About a year or so ago, I started this project called Vart, var-t, and it is a site on learning art using JavaScript, where I knew how to like make art with code, but like I didn't know so much about art created before digital technology sort of came to be. I didn't study art history. I got my undergrad and my master's in computer science, and I wanted an opportunity to learn how to learn that history. But again, just like when learning a program, I needed some sort of motivation to keep me involved, and it turns out that code became my motivation to learn art, go figure. And so I started Vart, where I write about an artist, and then I create some sort of generative art tool inspired by some of their most famous works. So Mondrian, Dutch artist, how many people sort of recognize this type of artwork, figured artwork? Cool, so this is like made using JavaScript and recursively creating cells within cells of tables. These are HTML tables. And when I was at the MBA, I worked on the stats site. I worked solely in tables. So I'm like, I'll just bring that work into like art. That's weird, right? Yeah, it is. And then I also did a generator of Matisse cutouts. You here saw the Andre Matisse paper cutouts at the MoMA last year. So like, why not be able to like draw your own like in the browser and save it all, and it uses the similar colors that you see in his pieces, and it looks as if it's kind of like paper printed on top. And so that was called cutting out Matisse. And so I sort of create these in the JavaScript, and if you go to like vart.institute, I sort of write about the artist and how it's tied into me personally, show examples of their work. And then I go through my process creation with CodePen. You can see sort of the evolution of the code as I go through creating the tools and the colors and then have the final product. And this, including Vart.institute itself, is all open source. And so people are using it and putting it to like their lesson plans to do JavaScript, because hello world is boring. You can only say hello to the world so many times. It doesn't care. So people, artists are learning how to code. And I think that that's really, really awesome. So then I think, well, I've created tools for developers to build their stuff, mostly involving tables and whatever. How about let's make some tools for artists? And I got to thinking, I was doing a residency at the Made in My Media Center, and I wanted to think of a way to save pixel art in a way that artists can use it to do other technical things with it. And I was thinking about when you look at an image, like a photograph, and you look at its data, you get an idea of like where it was made, what kind of image it is. But that's the EXIF data, the exchangeable image format. How many of you have taken digital photos and have looked at the EXIF info of those photos? So you can see like what camera you took with it, what software on the camera. There's like tons of data that like might not be of use to you, but there's a lot of it in it. You can even like embed secret like images into it if you're a spy. I'm not a spy. I'd have to tell you if I was. So I was like, okay, well, pixel art, something like on make8bitart.com or like anything else, there's really no like EXIF data with that when you save an image. Like, I can save it as SVG, but like, this makes no sense. Like, you can't tell like what this image is. This is actually like a couple of squiggly lines, but you wouldn't know that looking at like this data. And this is like a smiley face I drew, right? You can tell from this P64 format, it's a blob from a canvas. Like, oh yeah, smiley face, I get it. So I'm like, well, why don't I figure out how JavaScript does this with other types of things, not necessarily pixel art, and work that into a way that is more readable for people. And then I think of like JavaScript objects and how like objects have states or properties, and then they have behaviors. So like a state of a pixel on a drawing include like its location, and that might be at like coordinate 2, 2. And like I myself in real life have could be considered an object, and I have a location too, like on stage, or if you want to get even like more granular, like latitude and longitude and all of that. And then there are behaviors, like if you're animating, you have something animate to be inverted. That's like a behavior, it's inverting itself, and I have a behavior like closing my laptop, which I'm not gonna do right now. And then canvases, how many people have dealt with like HTML5 canvas with that API? Yeah. How many people here have not, but have dealt with like real life canvases and painting? Yeah, so they're sort of the same, just in different like dimensions. A canvas in real life is sort of like a frame with the canvas laid over it, and that like white part is what you paint on. And in code, you have a canvas. The tag is literally just called canvas. And you can get sort of the part of the canvas that you're drawing on, which we call a context. So there's a 2D context. If you want to work with GL, you can get a 3D context. But you create a canvas. I gave it a name, my cool canvas. Like I have a name, Jen. And when I explain IDs and classes to people, I say in a way where like we identify something by name so that we are only getting that one object when we need it. So like my name is Jen Schiffer, but if I might have a class person. And if Stacy came in the room and said, persons, look at me, well, most of us are gonna look at her. But if she calls Jen Schiffer, only I'm supposed to look at her, because that's my ID. And so we do that with our elements on a page. And so the canvas has ID, my cool canvas, I get its context, and this is where like I do stuff, like I set my color to magenta, because magenta's a cool color, and I fill a rectangle at the coordinates 25, 25, 100, 100. And that's cool. But if that's like a lot of like junk, which it is, we do cool things like abstractions. And so much like with all the web audio stuff that we learned about earlier today, like libraries abstract all that sort of junk so you don't have to deal with it, because if you're an artist or even just a developer, you don't want to have to like reinvent the wheel every time. I do a lot of pixel art apps and drawing apps, and like P5JS, which is a great project, you go to p5js.org, is sort of an abstraction for like creating all this canvas stuff and drawing. So it sort of changes those two lines of like you're getting your canvas and your context and stuff to just like a function, create canvas, it's 500 by 500. And it's like, that's awesome. I don't have to like do all of like the junk under the hood. And that's great. There's this new book, How to Get Started with P5JS. It's got a magenta cover, which makes it great. But it's also a good book if you want to learn P5. And then when you learn P5, if you've never done the canvas API stuff, for learn P5 and then learn what P5 is doing. Look at the source code. You can look at the source code, it doesn't bite, it's just a document, documents don't bite. If they do, wake up. So yeah, back to saving pixel art in JavaScript. I created a thing called Pixon, pixel art object notation, which is just JSON, which is JavaScript object notation, which is a lightweight data interchange where you can use it in JavaScript, Python, PHP. It's very portable. This is an example of JSON showing EXIF data for an image, which is like great. So like I drew an image. It's on makeitdark.com. It's a software. I'm the artist. I gave a description, copyright, a date, time, blah, blah, blah. That's like cool and all, but like, I can give you a description, it could be completely different from that. Any of you know Magritte, the artist Magritte, he mislabels things all the time. So just by looking at a label, you don't understand what you're actually seeing, and vice versa. And so on top of the EXIF data for a pixel art object, we have pixel image format, or PIXIF. And so a pixel art drawing is a collection of pixels. An image is just a collection of pixels. And so pixels have the X and Y location, a color, and then the size will display pixels. And so I have a page here, pixon.github.io, that explains the abstract of this. It gives an example of a drawing. And there are apps that I have that exports and imports this JSON format called Pixon. So like I have makeapeandart.com here, and I drew this like smiley face with like my left hand because I was like drinking coffee. I mean, what's important really? And I exported it into this JSON format called Pixon. And this is like what it looks like. I had a prettifier on my browser, but you know, demos were cool. I have this app called August.today, which lets you import Pixon. And so that smiley face, let me delete the project and import my sample and animate it, is animating my drawing. Now this is what you get from saving your image as Pixon versus saving it as just SVG or a JPEG, or even a GIF. You can save like the animation of your drawing by doing time-lapse video and then saving it to a GIF, but then you don't really have like that granular data of each pixel that was drawn. You can save the time that things were drawn and play it over and over again, but you're not losing anything through compression, which is really important when you're making pixel art. Those straight lines are so key. Anything else will just make it look like you stretched out a photograph, and that's kind of like gross and bleh, not liking it. Also, when you like are a spy and you add like more image to your exif data, like you're gonna like make your image look gross. So I'm looking at all your images, you spies. So yeah, it saves the process of your art, which I feel like is one of the most important parts of creating, not only art but also code. When you think of like distributed versioning and like Git histories and stuff like that, the process I feel like is so important. To a project, and so I like to see that saved in digital art as well. So pixon.github.io explains further how this all works, and there are people who have been creating JavaScript plugins for apps like Sketch and Acorn so that you can import and export Pixon, and people who have created other like drawing apps that are adding that to it because they found that it's just a very light way to sort of save the integrity of like their pixel art images. So art is strong in the JavaScript world, whether you like it or not. So you should get used to it and become a part of it without like hesitation or being worried that it makes you less of a developer. Because again, that's just like a ridiculous statement. And if you disagree, see me after class. last night at the event, they were talking about this Create Tech Week, which is happening in April, and there's like a CFP out for like things. So like there are huge events that are, you know, always happening, especially here in New York. The New York JavaScript community, as just even though like I'm part of the borough of JS people, is so great and awesome. And I feel like it really is so much more warm and welcoming here than I found in other places. And I've been spoken at like 20 conferences in the past 2 years and flown all over. Like this is like where I feel most at home, not only because I'm from here, but because it just feels nice being around everyone, these talks here even today. And so the fact that we like live in an area that I guess embraces technology, also embraces creativity, I feel it very necessary to sort of like shout out everywhere about these things. So like Creative Tech Week, they have this event spring next year. I'm going to submit to it. I'm working on a pixel art tool that is sort of like a cyberbully simulator. I get yelled at on the internet a lot. And you don't really get like direct feedback from a person when you say something mean to them. So like what are some ways that you can like incorporate that into people's lives? So like I'm just creating like this command line tool where like you can just like say mean things to me and it reacts in pixel art because it's more digital than actual photography, and also I can't always be there to hear your feedback, which is like real life. And also like I don't care. But then like we do kind of care sometimes. It really depends on like the moment. So creating art with code that sort of promotes empathy is also really something that is necessary in this community, and also is something that I feel like has made the JavaScript community so much more progressive in that space than other languages, which I know, because I write Java and PHP. So I have a GitHub. Pixon stuff is all in the Pixon organization, Jen Schiffer on GitHub, and then you can reach out to me on Twitter, Instagram, email, Freenode. I'm very accessible. You can ask me questions whenever, and I hope to see y'all make some art and send it to me, because that's one of my favorite things, is to see what people are making with my stuff and what people are making with their own stuff, so that I can make stuff with that too and become full circle. So thank you very much.